Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Today is an extra special Sunday. I mean, every Sunday is special, right? But today is extra special because we're celebrating 3 years in this home. Hopefully you caught the balloons out the front and you are in for a real treat today. We've already done it once and I can tell you there's something for everyone this morning. It'll be slightly different, so I'll walk you through what we're doing this morning. But first, just to say that we've been in a series on the book of Acts, right? And actually, this Sunday morning fits in beautifully into that series. Acts tells a story of the early church, how it grows, how it changes, how it evolves, how the Spirit of God moves in surprising and unexpected ways. And we also have unexpected and surprising stories in this church as well. So this morning, we're going to take a moment to remember some of those things. One of those surprises is that we've ended up here on the Cave Hill Road, right? Some of you have been with us for a while, and we did not see that coming. So this morning, we want to take a moment and remember together God's faithfulness to us in this community and what he has done. And so this morning, as I said, it's going to look a little bit different from here on out. And probably the highlight for everyone this morning is going to be hearing some stories from the community. So we'll return to our series on Acts next week, but this morning we're going to share some stories, and I think you will really, really enjoy it. So in order to make as much time as we can for those stories, we're going to skip the usual announcements and things at this stage. I know you're all disappointed. I know you're so sad. Did you know that we have a website? Did you know that we have social media? And here's the real killer. Did you know that we had a weekly email that goes out? Yeah, I know you all read that so carefully, don't you? If you're visiting with us today, there is probably not a better Sunday than this Sunday to get an idea of what God is doing here and who these people are meeting here on the Cave Hill Road. So you'll get a little window into the life of our community. We would love to chat with you afterwards. And because today is a celebration, we have some extra special buns for you after the service. Yes, I have done due diligence. I have sampled the Carmelitas. They are very nice. If there are any left from the first service, you should try one. And thanks to French Village, we'll have an extra special party. So do stick around for a chat. Share some of your own stories with each other of what God has done as well. So another thing that we're doing slightly differently, for those of you who like the rhythm and the structure, just so you know what's coming, we're going to take the offering at the end of the service instead of here. This offering is going to go entirely towards our mortgage. And let me say a little bit about that. We have £253,000 remaining on the mortgage, which might seem like a lot, but think about everything we've done. And here, this is amazing. We have, in 3 years, paid off £147,000 of that mortgage. Can you believe that? Isn't that amazing? You are a generous church, right? You are a very generous church. Thank you. Those of you that have been on this journey, the journey continues. I love that. Yes, it's still continuing. Those of you that have been on the journey will know this quote that we're going to share here that we have used to guide our trajectory in how we've raised money and why we're doing what we're doing. So this is a John Wimber quote, and he says, "Most of us, all of our lives, have been eating fruit from trees. We have not been eating trees. Eating fruit from trees we didn't plant. Somebody had the foresight and was willing to plant and establish these things so that later generations would have the benefit." And our hope and our prayer as we continue to seek God and as we continue to take an offering, as we will do every anniversary time for years to come, is that we can leave the next generation mortgage-free, that they can just run with what God has put in their hearts. And so at the end, our kids and our youth will be joining us. That's going to be really good, because we do want to remind all of us that we are a multi-generational church, and that what is happening in those rooms, in some ways, I mean, I know you all are really important, but what's going on back there is the next generation of the church, and it's really important. So anyway, that's kind of the running of things. I'm going to invite Alan to help me with one more important piece here.
As Harmony said, once we do things twice, it's a tradition. And so one of the things that as we thought about leaving a legacy, as we thought about investing in the generations to come, we wanted to mark the seasons as they passed and acknowledge that each of us, even if we're here for a short period, some of you have been here for longer than we've been here. Some of you have been here for longer than me. And some of you, maybe this is your first Sunday, but each of us, whatever period of our journey is in this community, we leave a mark. And so when we first moved in, we had an artist in our community and we had her paint a tree. A very sparse looking tree, right? Looks a bit ugly. And just under it is that quote from John Wimber. And then what we've been doing each year from the first moment we moved in is those of us who are part of the community placing our fingerprints on that tree, beginning to bring life to it. And so those are the fingerprints from those of us who were here in 2023 when we moved in. The next year, those who were new and joined us added theirs. The following year, some more. And so if you are new in the life of our church over the last year, if you have never put your fingerprint on this tree, then today there's the opportunity to do that. That piece of art hangs just out the back and by our kitchen. So I'm going to be in the foyer afterwards, just out here, and you can come and pop your fingerprint on there and just acknowledge that you're now part of the story that God is weaving through this community. Make sense? Wonderful. Harmony.
So I said there was something for everyone, right? From finger painting to buns, there's something for everybody here this morning. All right, are you ready for some stories? Yeah, good. As a precursor to these stories, I just want to share a couple of thoughts. And I want to pray for us as we launch into our story sharing. And in the Vineyard, a lot of our stories are actually in song, right? So last Sunday night, we had a guest worship leader at our worship and prayer night. Oh, thank you, Alan. This is so helpful. And he started to sing something spontaneously, as in it wasn't planned. He hadn't written it down. It just came to him in that moment. And so last Sunday night, I grabbed a quick recording of it because I thought it was actually really pertinent, really relevant to what we're doing here this morning. So actually, as I'm going into prayer, I'm just going to play this, and Johnny's going to help me with the volume levels and so on at the back. But Owen, our friend, sang out, "Our story is your story." And the story that God is writing in each of our lives and also in this community and on the Cave Hill Road, it's not our doing. It's his story. It's his plan. It's his mission. So let's play a little bit of this and then we'll pray. Thank you, Lord, that our story is your story. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in this community. Thank you for each person here. Thank you that every story matters. Every person's life has a purpose. That you've put us together into a church family for a reason. Lord, thank you that we get to participate in a story that's bigger than us. Praise the Lord for that. What a joy to get to participate in your amazing story throughout the world and throughout time. Thank you for your faithfulness to this community, Lord. Thank you that we get to be a part of your greater story. We also acknowledge that at times it's been a difficult journey. Some of the surprises have been painful, but you've helped us at every stage. You've never let us down. You've taught us so much about prayer, about waiting on your timing, about what it looks like to be on your mission instead of our own. You've surprised us along the way. It hasn't always been what we thought it would look like. But thank you, Lord, for trusting us with the mission and the assignment in North Belfast. It is a joy and a privilege to serve you in whatever way you choose. Thank you for the stories you are writing in every life in this community. Help us this morning to see with greater clarity what it is that you're doing. Give us eyes to see, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we have time to hear, just about time, we squeezed it in just about, first service, from three different people, three different stories. But I just want to say that each one of you here has a story, and this is a moment for you as well to ponder and think, oh, what has God done in my life? To stop and remember that, and to remember even what your part has been in this story of this community. Okay, so very briefly then, just to set the stage, why do we need to remember together? Why are we doing this? It's not that we just couldn't think of what to preach on today, so we do like balloons and buns, like that's a good reason, isn't it? But why are we doing this today? Well, I'll tell you my very profound, are you ready for this? This is like really deep. You might need to write this down. Because we forget. I forget. I don't know about you, but, you know, God will provide something for me, and then within a few minutes or hours later, I've already forgotten, and I'm knocking his door for the next thing. So it's really important for us to remember together. The word remember features in the Bible actually hundreds of times. And here are a few examples of when God told his people to remember, and when they built altars or memorials or marked the occasion in some way, which is what we're doing today. So here's a few examples. This is from Deuteronomy. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Another one. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. And yet another one. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels, and the judgments from his mouth. Remember, remember. So that's what we're doing today. And one of the really significant things of our story that I remember is that we prayed for this church home for a very, very long time. I think 20 years at least, maybe longer, 20 years. Have you prayed for something for 20 years before? It takes a certain type of resilience and muscle to keep going. So many of you here have actually prayed for something for 20 years, and it's this year. For many years, we gathered for our week of prayer, and we fasted, and we prayed, and we asked God for a building. Alan said a few weeks ago that we've been around every venue in Belfast. There was a season of time, yeah, twice, yeah. Even not necessarily in Belfast, right? We were like looking far and wide. And if you've ever bought a home, you know, the highs and the lows, the, oh, it looks good. Oh, nope, somebody else outbid us. Oh, this one looks good. Nope, that's not going to work. We had a lot of those and some really, really disappointing days. And so how good is it that we can remember together and celebrate that we have a place to call home is a really big deal for us as a church. And so we just have to set aside time to remember, to mark this moment, to bring other people on the journey with us as well, to remember God's faithfulness and to tell others about it as well. Here's a photo of when we first got the keys. This was a happy day. This was a very, very happy day. And here's a photo of what it looked like at the in the inside of this room here at the time. Quite a big change, isn't it? So that was before the renovations. And then 3 years ago today, we opened the doors to the renovated building. And we're so, so thankful for all the provision, all the people who served and made this happen. All the sleepless nights that Alan and Andy had looking at every venue and every detail of how this all works. So what an amazing thing God has done, right? Of course, we saw God move in remarkable ways in our rented spaces as well, and you'll hear a couple of stories from that in a moment. Church life went on whether we had a building or not. And many of us here will have very significant moments of encounter in some very strange venues. In October, our church is going to be 30 years old, which is exciting, and we'll have a party. We'll do all of that good stuff, so stay tuned. But I think that we met on a Sunday morning in 8 different venues over those 30 years, and that's only the regular ones. There's a ton more if you factor in the odd Easter and Christmas and midweek things. For a while, we were known as the underground church because nobody knew where to find us. This was in the days before we had a website and stuff. You actually didn't know where we were going to be. Somehow, people still found us. Like, that's wild, isn't it? Anyway, first up for our stories is part of the backstory of how we ended up here in North Belfast that maybe we haven't shared before. So, Alan and Laurie, you're up first. Put your hands together for them.
Hello, hello. What a journey. We are still learning what it means to be a part of God's story and just really surrendering and partnering to him. And as Harmony has alluded, he sometimes writes very surprising chapters, and what we're about to share is certainly one of those. And so I have been a part of BCV for 25 years, and I followed my big sister Katie into the Vineyard back whenever I was a student. And most of you know that Katie has now gone off to plant Faith Vineyard in Cumber, which for me was a really bittersweet moment. But I fell in love with this community instantly, and I have done a lot of growing up in here, and just want to say thank you for all of you who have spoken to my life and helped me along that journey.
And not long after that time that Laurie joined, I felt myself really drawn to this church community as well, for the deep and theological reason that I thought Laurie was really hot. And I pursued her into the Vineyard. True story. And laid down all my theology and found a place to call home. And part of the reason why we stuck here, part of the reason why we felt like this was the place that we wanted to raise our kids and to call home, it was that idea that God is always at work. From those very early days when we were 40 on a Sunday in a dodgy community center in the bottom of the Ravenhill Road, there was this something in the DNA that God was always at work, always inviting us to partner with him, and that any one of us at any moment can be part of his story if we say yes. And all we've been doing for the last 20-something years is trying our best to be eyes open and heart ready to say yes to whatever he asks of us in the next season.
And so we have been a part of many of those church moves, as Harmony has already said. Alan and I have been married for 20 years, and in and around when we got married, we actually moved as a church into Fleming Fulton School, and were there for a very long time, and it was just lots of years of setup and takedown, but actually we're thankful for that because Alan is the master of chair setting. So whenever we were in Fleming Fulton School, it was around Easter 2019, we couldn't have our services there because it was a school and the caretakers needed some time off. So we were on the lookout for somewhere to go. And around that time, Andy had been at a conference with Pete Gregg, and he was brought up on stage with Heather Morris, who led the Methodist Church in Ireland. And basically, Pete Gregg prophesied that the Methodist Church and the Vineyard Church in Ireland would be of help to each other and bless each other. And so with that in mind, we found ourselves borrowing this building Easter 2019 for Easter services. We could not quite believe that we're in the wilds of North Belfast, but here we were. And around that time as well, Andy had began to speak about a thing that was on his heart, and he called it the Urban Mission Project. And so basically he was asking, what would would it look like for BCV or any other churches who wanted to get involved to engage in various communities around our city, north, south, east and west, and that we could maybe think about what would it look like to breathe life into dwindling, aging or dying church spaces. And so that Easter, as Alan and I worshipped in this very room, we began to ask each other and the Lord, what about North Belfast?
And just to be really clear, like, North Belfast was not on our radar. I don't know if I'd ever ventured beyond Yorkgate. That seemed like wild enough to me. But we began to simply say, is this the next yes you're asking of us, Jesus? What would it look like? We started to pray. We started to chat. We started to dream. We had conversations with Andy and Harmony. And our first step was to meet with the minister of Cave Hill Methodist at the time. That was a community that seemed like it was moving towards the end of its journey as a church. And we met to just discuss, could we help you? Is there a partnership here? Is there something that we could do together in this space? But they felt like their time was coming to an end. And so we began to dream of what would it look like to plant a site or a hub of BCV, something new, something fresh, something different here in North Belfast. And we started to ask the Lord to share his heart for this area with us. And boy, did we need it. There weren't even any coffee shops. Like, I can't go somewhere there's no coffee shop. And so we began to pray for lots of things, including good coffee shops in North Belfast, and now there are plenty. You're welcome. And we just began to ask the Lord to show us what he's seen. And our path started to cross with lots of people who called North Belfast home, especially within our storehouse community. Again and again, we'd encounter folks who were living here. As we explored a little deeper into our history, we discovered that actually Laurie's dad was born and in his early years lived on a house on the Cave Hill Road. That my grandmother actually grew up on the Antrim Road, and that her father ran a number of Sunday schools in this area for many, many children for many years. And so something of our heritage and our hearts began to get hooked for this area. And I just want to be really, really clear. God never woke us in the night and said, go to North Belfast. We found ourselves in North Belfast and said, Lord, do you care about the people here? And of course he said, yes. And we said, are you asking us to care about the people here? And he said, yes. And so we said, okay, we'll go. We'll go.
And so by January 2020, it was very clear that the Lord was in it, and so were we. Our hearts were hooked. And so we started to gather a team, which happened really easily because God is in the habit of not just speaking to one person at a time. He'd already begun to speak to other people in this community. And so we started a WhatsApp. That's where you always start, isn't it? And we began to pray and just to ask the Lord to move in power in North Belfast. And it started off wonderfully. We really enjoyed gathering in our houses around the dinner table. We were in a real habit of feasting together. We worshiped together. We prayer walked together. And Mark, you led the charge in that one. And we just cried out to the Lord, and we were asking to hear his voice. And we began to imagine and dream of how we could partner with him in seeing a new community formed in North Belfast. And so our hearts were just really on fire for it. And then COVID hit and put a real dampener on it all. But even in the midst of that season, we continued to pray. Often we walked around the waterworks in twos because that was all you were allowed. But in the midst of the lockdown, God was so incredibly faithful, and he continued to speak to our wee team. And two of which, who some of you may know, Johnny and Amy Gillespie, they decided at that time that they would move into North Belfast, and they bought a house, and they began to minister in their street and their neighborhood, and they just started having story after story because the people that they were encountering were so hungry for Jesus. And one day, Amy, who is the artist of our tree that Alan showed, she painted a picture of Cave Hill. That's her there. And it was a day whenever she noticed that like there was a heavy fog and it just began to lift. And she felt like the Lord speak really clearly to her that whatever community was formed here, that we would be a part of praying that the heaviness and the fog would just lift off this part of our city, and that people would begin to see clearly, that they would see Jesus more clearly. And so that's what we began to pray. And then around that time too, Cave Hill Methodist closed, and it became very clear to us that Jesus was doing something bigger than we anticipated.
Just a slight aside, Johnny and Amy and their family left us to go and be part of Bangor Vineyard, who as of 2 or 3 weeks ago are now meeting in a Methodist church rented in Bangor. That word is still stirring, and Bangor is a church that we sent out many years ago to bless and to serve that community. So as Laurie said, it was clear the Lord was doing something that was much bigger than our little team had dreamed and imagined and prayed for, and it became really clear that we couldn't go back to rented spaces, we couldn't go back to Fleming Fulton, and the Lord was actually placing us here as a whole church family, that this would be center of operations for Belfast City Vineyard. And that is wonderful and amazing, and God has done incredible things. But we also need to be honest. It was actually really painful for us. And for Laurie and I, maybe even for a number of our team, it felt like laying down something that we had given our hearts to, that we'd spent 3 years preparing to go and to lead, preparing to go and to build, seeking the Lord for, and it felt like something that he was doing that we were now setting down. And the truth is, looking back, I wouldn't have it any other way. Of course, this is where we're supposed to be. But I would be lying if I said that wasn't hard. And the truth is that saying yes to Jesus is rarely a straight path. Actually, the destination is not that important at all. And the journey of intimacy with him and being shaped by him at each step is the point. And ups and downs, they're not successes or failures. They're simply the everyday journey of being a disciple, of following Jesus. And the most important yes for him is not the biggest one you'll ever make. It's not the most costly one. The most important yes is the next one that's right in front of you. Will we keep saying yes to him, even when it's hard?
And so I just want to finish off by actually acknowledging and honoring our wee team, that group of people who gathered during COVID just to pray and to like till the soil, to be ready for our whole community to come, and just to honor their willingness to blaze a trail and then lay it down for the sake of the whole. And this is one of the last messages that Alan sent into our wee WhatsApp group on this day 3 years ago, and this is what he said. Well, we're about 3 years ahead of our time, but don't doubt for a second that today was some of the first fruits of our little group's prayers. Thanks for being crazy enough to listen to Jesus and to follow us into contending for something that was much bigger than we realized. Who would have known? Let's keep on praying and expecting for more than we can dream or imagine.
Amen.
So that's what it looked like when you were sending the text message. Is that right, Alan? There it is there. Yeah, 3 years in. So, I mean, the stories today are partially when we pray, when we give God our yes, we don't know what it's going to look like. And some of that is wonderful and some of that's painful. So thank you, Alan and Laurie, for your incredible faithfulness in this and that team. Are we ready for another story? All right, so I'm going to invite Alex and Hannah up to join me here for the next story. Put your hands together for them.
Morning. I thought that was going to be much tougher to tease that out of you, but thank you for an interaction. I'm aware obviously there's some faces that we haven't met yet, even literally sitting behind David. I've been here 3.5 years, first time I actually got a conversation, so just shows. My name's Alex, and this, I can now say, is my wonderful wife, Hannah. We were married within this building in June. And yeah, it's been a lovely time. I just want to prerequisite my talk. I would love you all to actually fit out the door this morning, and the size of your heads with the amount of thanks that we're probably going to give may not allow that. Essentially, whenever you're talking about somewhere that becomes home, it is actually the people that are here first that really, really impact on that and really shape that. That's yourselves. The things that you do, the character that you show, your servant hearts, your God-first attitude really impacts, really changes people. And I just really want to encourage you with that, because you do so well at encouraging others. You do so well at supporting others. And it really shows whenever, you know, we've been here 3.5 years, and probably within the first few weeks of coming here, we felt so comfortable and so at home. A little bit of context, throwing it back to the Methodist side here, you'll hear, but...
We were part of this Methodist prophecy without even really knowing that we were. My dad is a Methodist minister, and so I personally grew up in going to a lot of different churches, because in the Methodist church, your minister moves every 7 years or so. So I had been to a lot of churches, but I had only ever really known my dad as the minister and that one type of preaching. And I had also always been somewhere where everyone kind of knew who I was, and I didn't have to work that hard to try and fit in somewhere. People would make the effort to come to me. So whenever it was time for Alex and I to try and find a church to go to ourselves, that was something that I was probably a little bit nervous about. I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to really try and really make an effort and be sociable with people. But actually, I didn't. I didn't have to try it whenever we came here. So we first came to BCV whenever, I think it was like the second service in Rosemary. And straight away, we kind of just got a sense of, obviously, just boom, welcome. So many people were so chatty and so friendly, and came up and talked to us, and it was Sam and Ashin Dando who suggested we come here. So I had a list of churches around this area, Newton Abbey kind of area, that I wanted to try and see, and long story short, we didn't make it to any of those, so we came here first, and this wasn't on my very carefully curated list of churches that I wanted to try. I actually didn't even really know of BCV, but we ended up here, and we really loved it. And I think from the thing that we loved, one was the community and everybody welcoming us in so easily and so readily, and it just felt really natural and comfortable. And secondly, we didn't know whenever we first came that Rosemary was abnormal for all of you. We thought it was class. and people kept being just like, oh, it's not normally like this. Like, we'll often have like a bigger band and we're trying to find our own place. And we were like, this is amazing. What are you guys talking about? Like, what is going to be better? We really, really loved it. And for us, probably it was a few weeks before we found out that this building was being renovated at that time. And we were just ready for whatever it was going to be. So yeah, we definitely have benefited greatly from the fruit of trees that were planted, not by us. So we just want to say thank you to all of you for all of the prayer and the physical work that you guys have put into making this place a church. And actually, having this building for us personally, coming fresh in, that didn't matter to us, do you know? Because we felt at home in Rosemary because of the people that were there.
So much like Hannah, I was a part of the Methodist church pretty much my whole life before coming here. Actually, I forgot to say this in the first service, but whenever I was in the Methodist, I did a kids club in this church. I think I was like fourth or fifth year. And literally, it impacted on me physically because probably about here, I dropped a baptismal font on my foot and put myself in crutches. So yes, as soon as I walked in the first week here, I was like, oh, that place. I remembered it. But yeah, I was part of the Methodist church. I played the organ there. So I was really used to like hymn singing. Now, nothing wrong with that. But I don't know if you were here like 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. Like, come on. That you guys worship here with your whole heart. Like, it's an all-in experience. And that authenticity, that simplicity, and that purity is what really, really caught me. That's so ingrained in Vineyard DNA. And yeah, you don't do things by half, especially not worship here. It's an all-in experience. And that goes for whether you're standing here or whether you're there. Whenever I did come here, I wasn't going to say anything about playing music and the wonderful Sam Dando. Take wonderful however you want. He's my best friend, I'm joking. Let it slip that indeed I did play music and that I was a worshipper in the Methodist Church. And slowly through conversations with people like Dave Carnahan and even like Anna for worship and prayer, got involved in the worship side here. Through the encouragement and support of others, and it feels like a second family. In fact, it's basically just one big family. We were doing some maths last night whenever we were looking at the wedding, like our guest list, and for being here 3.5 years, just under a quarter of our guest list was BCB. And you might not know, Hannah's family is huge. That's a large number. So, yeah, the encouragement and the support that you guys give is really, like, tangible, and you can really, really feel it. And as part of the worship team, I kind of got a sense that, like, I wanted to do something more, but I wasn't really sure, and, praying about that and trying to figure out what that looked like. And then Isaiah literally turned to me, I think it was one practice before the Sunday morning, and he was like, I think you'd be good at MD. Do you want to do MD? Not a clue what MD was, but he said to me and was like, I think you'd be good at this. And so took up the MD role, and it's one of the best experiences that I've had, being able to encourage people in worship, being able to, watch the room, see what God is doing in the room, and talk about that on a stage while I'm worshiping with friends and family. It's a wonderful experience. My point with that is that 9 times out of 10, if you're feeling that God is putting something in your life and you feel called to something, I would probably say with a decent bit of certainty that there is someone in this room that is praying for you in that space. Just think about that. Like, have a look around. There's probably someone praying for you for something in this space. So yeah, it's a room of encouragement. It's a room of real openness and vulnerability. We're very honest about praying with each other. We're very honest about praying for each other. And I just really want to encourage you with that as well.
Yeah, so for me, I probably didn't start serving in this church until we'd been here about a year or so. And I now serve in the kids' room, in the primary room, which is the best room. not that I'm biased. But serving has been such a blessing for me. Our primary school kids are amazing, and they open my eyes in a different way every single time I serve. They're so in tune with what God is doing, and it's really humbling sometimes, and just blows me away every time that I serve there. One of the other things that has really blessed me is we always have prayer ministry before we start our first 9:30 service, and just praying with my team that I serve with, it's kind of helped me to feel so included and so at home, and it's helped me to get to know people in a really deep level that I know for certain that I probably wouldn't know them in that same way if I hadn't joined the kids team and started serving that way. So that has probably been one of the biggest blessings for me for getting involved with serving, is just getting that even deeper relationship with people and building that community really, really strongly.
Yeah, it's just to kind of bring it round, bit of a Christopher Nolan style finish how I started. Thank you, genuinely, thank you. Your character whether you know it or not, as a God-seeking people that are so like authentic and open, really shapes people's lives, really impacts on them, and actually challenges them to go further in their own faith. Like, that is something that is really encouraging, and you should really, like, don't let that just drop off you as you walk out the door today. Just know that you're actually impacting people in such a great way. You've supported us, like, wonderfully, like, planning even our wedding, it felt so easy because there was a community of people here that were as excited, if not some of them probably even more than us, for our wedding. So it's wonderful to say that, yeah, we're a part of BCB. So just know that everything that you do really encourages, it really shapes. Keep doing what you're doing. Obviously, keep seeking God first. And yeah, thank you.
That was good, wasn't it? So this is a really good wedding venue, isn't it? Yes. And also, just to say, so in terms of the timeline, so Rosemary Presbyterian just up the road, that was when these guys came along, right? Just before that, we were in Windsor Presbyterian. I mean, the body of Christ has been good to us in Belfast, actually, because we had a real crisis at several points along the way, and they helped us out. So when we were in Windsor Presbyterian, a number of people, I don't know why they joined us, because we were masked. It was super weird. Even in Rosemary, we met at 1 p.m. No church ever meets on Sunday at 1 p.m. So I don't know why people came. I don't know why they stayed, but they did. And one of those families is the Garland family. And so our third story today is going to come from Peter Garland. They had moved back to Northern Ireland from Morocco, and we're looking for a church, and they joined us at Windsor. And here's what you need to know. Peter's going to talk a little bit about a song that he wrote, and you've actually already heard it. You've already sang it. Did you know that there was a song in that set that sounded like, oh, I don't know this one? It's called House of Mercy. Well, Peter and some friends wrote that song, and he's going to tell you a little bit about the story behind that song. Put your hands together for Peter.
Good morning. Yeah, so this is going to be short. It's not going to be a full sermon. Yeah, Harmony asked me to say a few words. It was a team effort. I was involved in it, but thank you to Harmony and Isaac, especially. It was inspired, actually, you guys, I'm sure you remember, it was November 2024, we did a series of sermons about mercy. So the first one, especially, Andy's preached some great sermons, but I feel like this was one of his best. It really impacted me. Talking about mercy and how mercy is actually one of the gifts that God has given us as a church family. So he used the word charism. So mercy is a charism of the vineyard, or a gift of the vineyard. It's part of who we are. It's part of our DNA. And it's true of this church, and Storehouse is one of the examples of that. And I really love that, and I want to think about that more, and I've been thinking about that more over the last year, and I want to sing about it more, and I want to become a person of mercy. And obviously, the way that we know what mercy is, the way that we understand God's mercy, is because of Jesus and looking at Jesus. And I think I used to think mercy, I kind of had a sort of a very one sort of warped picture of mercy, where it was just like being let off the hook. So that kind of metaphor of a judge and a guilty person, and you know, they deserve punishment, and the judge is like, okay, you can go free. Or maybe like an angry wrestler or something is kind of a picture I have in my head of somebody who wants to beat somebody up, but then kind of has mercy on them. And that's, you know, it's mercy in the Bible is a lot richer than that. Of course, Jesus doesn't treat us as we deserve, as our sins deserve, and there's forgiveness. But mercy is so much deeper and richer and fuller than that. So not only that Jesus died for you, but also that Jesus cares for you. And that's kind of what the song is kind of looking at. And we do talk about that in church. We talk about mercy. We just don't always use the word mercy. We talk about love and compassion and kindness and grace. We say storehouses are compassion, charity, but actually both of those words are synonyms for mercy. So storehouses are mercy, mercy. But I don't know if you ever think about how God feels about you. So that's kind of, mercy is a big part of how I understand that, the compassion of God towards us. And like the love, Jesus talked about the prodigal son was one of the stories Jesus used to communicate that. The father waiting for the son to come home, that kind of father's heart is sort of like a welcoming love and like a safe, forgiving, generous, you know, mercy instead of judgment, that kind of heart. But the other side of that, apparently the Hebrew word for mercy is very close to the word for womb, like a mother's womb. And the compassion of God is also that kind of mothering heart, I think, as well. That kind of sheltering, close, protective, forming kind of love where you can come and find rest for your soul. And so when you ask for God to have mercy on you, it's all of that is kind of included. So my story, I grew up in different countries and different cities and different churches. And so sometimes I don't know where my home is, but actually finding a home in God's love and finding a home in his mercy is kind of where I want to make a home. And I think God's mercy does change us. I was trying to think about how to explain this, how we start to have mercy and have compassion for other people. And most of you probably experience pity. So I was trying to think of an example of that. I left our dog out in the rain in our garden. I forgot to bring him in, and he was out there for hours. And anyway, I opened the door, and he was wet, and he was cold, and he's not used to that. He's fine, by the way. But I just had this real pity on him, like, oh, you know. So, but the sort of next step up from that would be maybe sympathy. If somebody's going through something hard, you kind of recognize that. And then empathy is maybe something that you've actually experienced. So if someone, you know, their parent has died and your parent has died, you can identify the feeling and the hurt in that. And then I think mercy then is even one step beyond that, where you feel the hurt, you feel the pain, but you step towards them in love and action. And that's kind of where I see mercy. And I think that's what God did for us. That's what Jesus did. Jesus became human. He knows what we are going through. He stepped towards us in love. And I work in the health service, and I have the privilege in my job sometimes sitting with people in when they're going through hard stuff, you know, suffering, pain, you know, suicide, different stuff that I have to kind of sit with. And sometimes, you know, there's not much you can do apart from have mercy and the kindness and compassion. And I think sometimes when you make that choice, God breaks your heart sometimes for what breaks his heart. And I'm not saying I'm so great. Sometimes I find it easier to do that with strangers than my own family sometimes. But I don't know what that looks like for you in your work, in your home. Andy, in Andy's sermon, he kind of invited us to be a house of mercy. And that's where the kind of title came from. But I think Jesus invites us to be a house of mercy. We are the house. It's not actually about a building, this song. It's an invitation to kind of be sung by the church and over the church to receive mercy and to be changed by mercy.
I mean, it takes a bit of courage to get up here and share your story and share a song, so we really appreciate that. And the band, would you like to come up? Would you like to hear that song again, now that you know a bit about it, right? So as they're getting ready, why don't we stand if you're able to? If you're not able to do, please just stay seated, but let's stand together. And Lord, just what Peter said there really stood out to me. Would you break our hearts with the things that break your heart? Would you continually form us and shape us into the kind of community that is a house of mercy? We're not a building, we're a people. And we thank you for this church home, but more importantly, we thank you for what you are forming in us. And Lord, we know that there's so many people right across North Belfast that need to encounter your mercy. And so, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege of getting to partner with you so that people can encounter the mercy of God. And so as we sing this song again now, Lord, would you touch a deep place in us? Not only have we encountered mercy, but we have the opportunity to give that mercy away. So would you keep forming and shaping us? And even as we sing this, Lord, would you do a deep work in our hearts? Thank you for your mercy, Lord. We receive it, and we also pray, would you help us to give it? Let's worship together.
This is a place of generous grace. Receive God's tender love. Be still, draw near, he'll meet you here. This is a house of mercy. Jesus is rich in mercy. Come make your home in his love. Jesus is waiting for you. Come and find rest for your soul. This is a home of sheltering love. Give God your shame, be free. Confess your sin, be welcomed in. This is a house of mercy.
welcome to all of our kids and young people. We're going to pray a family prayer together and thank the Lord again for this gift of a church home. So are you ready, everybody? Yeah? Okay, there's going to be a section at the top that I will read, and then the yellow section is for you to join me. We come with joy and praise to you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us as we remember this gift of a church home. We say, thank you, Lord. Today, we dedicate this place and ourselves afresh to you and to your service. Our desire is to remain in you and bear fruit that will last. We ask that our children and our children's children would encounter you in this place. May this be a house of worship, thanksgiving, and praise, a place of hope, forgiveness, reconciliation, joy, and peace. We say, yes, Lord. May this church be a light in the darkness. May we welcome many to this place and see many come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Increase our capacity for hospitality, generosity, and kindness. We long for this place to be a sanctuary for the vulnerable, the stranger, the poor, those fleeing persecution. All tribes and all nations are welcome here. We say, yes, Lord. May the faithful preaching of God's word be blessed and anointed with power. May this building be a house of wisdom where people of all ages learn and are formed in the way of Jesus. We say, yes, Lord. May this building be a house of belonging. Draw us together into true and deep community. Help us to pursue each other in love and friendship and to enjoy one another and the good gifts you have given to us. May this house be a home and a family to many. May this be a house of laughter and fun and rest as we enjoy you and your good gifts to us. Draw us together in unity. We say, yes, Lord. May this building be a house of miracles, and we proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. Lord, heal the sick here. Release your prophetic word. Drive out darkness. May many experience your power and your kingdom. We say, yes, Lord. The scriptures proclaim that holiness adorns your house. May each person who enters the property know that they are on holy ground. And we commit to holy lives before you. May this be a house of prayer. May we be a people of prayer from the youngest to the oldest. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us a hunger and passion for you. We say, yes, Lord. Lord, we give you our yes to the calling on us to be a local church that is faithful and strong, as well as a church that multiplies, trains, receives, and sends. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in us and in this place. May your Holy Spirit continue to inhabit this place, and may your glory shine here for generations to come. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sanctify this place, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.